Hear the word of God as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 25 to 30. It is on page 742 of most of the Pew Bibles. 742, Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 25. Hear the word of God. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Here ends the first reading. Further, hear the word of God. This time, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, Luke chapter 10, reading verses 25 to 37. It is on page 792 of most of the Pew Bibles. Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. Listen then, for this is the word of God. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Amen. May God bless to us these readings of his holy word, and to him be all honour, praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The scene is set. An individual lying by the roadside, battered and bruised, a victim of abuse, lonely and fearful. Passers-by, afraid to approach, reluctant to get involved in this drama. He's not the kind of individual to be associated with. She's not one of us. She's one of them. The location, the road to Jericho, or the road to Uddingston. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in reading scripture is that we read it as a spectator. Often for us, the Gospels are a collection of stories about someone else. Events that took place thousands of years ago. True enough, we are reading about history, of course. But can I suggest that these ancient stories are also our stories? We are in the narrative. You and I are Abraham, Martha, Moses, Jeremiah, Ruth, Peter, the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus. And if you are prepared to accept it, we're also Jesus. To read scripture as a mere spectator looking on is to miss the point of it all, the purpose and the significance of Jesus' teaching. Scripture is our story too. Our gospel reading this morning from Luke is no different. Each of us in our own journey through life will travel his or her own Jericho road. That is our story. What will our experience be? What will yours and what will my experience be on that road? Will I fail to notice who has fallen and required help? Will you? Will I be the one who sees the injured, hears their plea, and yet crosses to the other side? Will you? Or will I be the injured man? Will we be from time to time lying on the roadside? Jericho, with its flourishing oasis, was located at a crossroads in the road network of ancient Palestine. The road leading to and from Jericho, used by merchants, armies, Roman generals, had been important through history. It was a winter resort for the rich, people with money and status. It might be our equivalent to Closters, you know, the place where the royal family sometimes go and the celebrities to have a wee holiday during the winter and have a skiing trip, that kind of feel to it. In Jesus' time, Jericho, under Herod's rule, was prospering. Construction of many large villas and the production of expensive wines, spices and perfume. A very affluent community indeed. In ancient Israel, this important road was also the border between two tribes, the tribe of Judah in the south and that of Benjamin in the north of the route. The 17-mile-long road was one of the main paths across the Judean desert. But this Jericho road was notorious. Notorious for its danger and its difficulty. Notorious not just for its difficult terrain, but also for the characters, thieves and robbers who hid in wait to pounce. The initial conversation in our reading has a familiar ring to it. A lawyer put Jesus to the test. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, here Jesus responds with his own questions. What's written in the law? How do you read it? The lawyer takes the bait and quotes precisely from the law, from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus affirms his answer. Do this, and you will live. But now the lawyer has another question, something else that's bugging him. He just needs some more clarification. So he asks, but who's my neighbour? Jesus responds this time not with a question, but with the story of the Good Samaritan. How do we inherit eternal life? The word inherit assumes promise, and perhaps that we've got a right to it. It builds on the view that God wants us to have this life, eternal life. It draws on the explanations raised by Jewish scripture. Eternal life is everlasting life, but its focus is on quality rather than quantity. It is sharing in God's life. Indeed, how do we inherit eternal life? And is there a point at which we've done enough to secure it? Is it a done deal? This is an important question for all Christians today and throughout history. Jesus affirms here that to love God and to love one's neighbour is indeed the way to eternal life. Do this and you shall live. He says this and it's quoted in verse 28. These words are then echoed at the end of the passage. Go and do likewise, meaning do what the Samaritan did. This commandment is the way to eternal life. Jesus' illustration of what the Samaritan did for the injured man gives us so very much to try to live up to. I mean, Jews and Samaritans, they don't even talk to each other. A Samaritan helping a Jew? Impossible. It's not enough to love people we like and associate with in our own circle, but to love someone who is a stranger and is perhaps someone who we don't associate with at all. So was this an invitation for Jews to take care of Samaritans and Samaritans to take care of Jews, their historic enemies? No longer them and us. Theirs then, and perhaps still our tribal mentality today, the them and us. This is an invitation for us today and for people of all time to love our enemies or to love people we would prefer not to love. After all, our mortality and spirituality of Sunday morning can't surely be detached from the rough and tumble of Monday to Friday. But we know we're all guilty of that because we're human. Can I suggest that we examine that, each one of us in our own time? How we are on a Sunday morning, is that borne out on Monday and through the rest of the week, irrespective of what circumstances we face? Love God and love your neighbour. So what is the relationship between these commandments? In many religious communities, including Christian communities, there's a real tension between the two. I want to care, but my priority and my loyalty must be to what I believe. That's what some people say. Believe it or not, I have actually heard it said, my devotion to Christ leads me to behave in a way that's destructive, neglectful, and excluding of others. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between, can be interpreted in different ways. And this can lead to very diverse theological arguments and influences in the church today. It's only 50 years ago this year that women were accepted by the Church of Scotland for ordained ministry. And at my recent assessment interview, I was asked what was my theology around women in ministry. Well, let me think about that one. Duh. There are still many churches whose Kirk Session would not have me in their pulpit because I'm a woman. And it's just one example of how Scripture can and is interpreted. Throughout the world, people devoutly committed to a God are often the cause of much hurt and conflict. History demonstrates that they believe what they believe restricts their acceptance of others. They love God, but not their neighbour, it would seem. Do we love God or do we love our neighbour? By loving your neighbour, you are loving God. That's the message in Luke's Gospel. I recently visited an addiction recovery unit, my other day job, as you maybe know, and one of the residents there had been presenting a challenge. He was well and really progressed on his recovery journey in terms of his addiction, but his underlying mental health, hurt and pain, led him to be abusive and sometimes violent towards the staff. After one episode, he said, "Why do you put up with me? When I'm hurting so much, I lash out. Why are you still here?" It's the Christians. Every time, they just never give up. Well, I wasn't sure whether he was chastising me or thanking me. But all we can do is stand there and love him some more. Our parable isn't focusing on the perspective of the man in the ditch. Rather, Jesus brings our attention to the behavior of the Samaritan, whose example the lawyer is strongly advised to follow. The good Samaritan's compassion and mercy is the example of none other than God and God's agent, Jesus. So can we agree here that our call by Jesus is to imitate the compassionate Samaritan, and in doing so, to imitate compassion of Jesus himself? For Luke, Jesus relates himself to the compassionate Samaritan. And this has huge implications, considering Jesus was a Jew, and as I've mentioned before, the Jewish-Samaritan hostilities. This scandalous identification is quite typical in Luke's perception of Jesus. Here, Jesus calls the lawyer, who's a Jew, to act like a Samaritan. Jesus isn't asking the lawyer to do something he himself is not prepared to do. So, it's in this very offence of the image of the Samaritan as a Christ figure that the parable has its power for us and meaning. Them and us, and how Jesus makes a subtle but significant point. There's no them and us. We're all called to love God and to love our neighbour on the road to Jericho and on the road to Uddingston. On November the 24th, 2013, you may remember, a police helicopter crashed into the Clutha Vaults, a pub in the north bank of the River Clyde in Glasgow. 10 people died as a result of the accident. All 3 on board the helicopter died instantly, and 6 on the ground. And then another person lost their life a few weeks later. I was in Glasgow that night, out with my pals, having a good time. We were a few streets away, but quickly the news was spreading. Another group of people standing near us were frantically on their mobile phones, calling people, looking at news coming through, trying to get some clarity of what had happened just a few minutes ago. A few of us headed in the direction of the Clutha. Well, if the emerging details of the accident didn't make us upset or emotional, then the scene before us did. People running towards danger to help out in any way they could. In actual fact, it was all becoming a bit of a policing nightmare because so many people wanted to help, running towards further potential danger and not away from it. Not passing by, but showing genuine concern for strangers. That's how the people of and in Glasgow responded. No, there was no them and us in Glasgow that night. No football or religious divide. Before my eyes, there was a human chain of good Samaritans. Carrying and passing above their heads, above their shoulders, the injured on the route along the line, away from the pub and into safety. The Good Samaritan story played out for me on the stage set out on Glasgow's Stockwell Street, the Jericho Road, Stockwell Street, Glasgow. So what are we to do? The parable of Jesus, this parable of Jesus is inviting all of us to love God, and this is demonstrated by our love for anybody and everybody who is hurting on their own Jericho Road experience. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Be as Christ to others, irrespective of their tribe, their gender, their religion, circumstances. Not getting involved in the events of the Jericho Road just isn't an option. Not stopping and passing by just isn't an option for us. If you ask me, can we avoid the Jericho Road as the injured man? No, in all probability, we can't. We know that already. Can we avoid the Jericho Road as a good Samaritan, showing the compassion of Jesus as God's agent? Definitely not. We can't avoid that. Seek out the Jericho Road and go and be Christ to those in this community who walk that journey. The scene is set. An individual is hurting, struggling with life, and we are the first response out there on the Jericho Road in our society today. We can't make the Jericho Road go away. We can't make the Jericho Road any safer, but we can support those by the wayside. We are in the story. We are in the narrative. By showing our love for them is loving God, and then we're taking our Sunday morning attitude into the rest of the week and the rest of the community. It's always the Christians. They just never give up. Amen.